This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you.
All right, we'll be moving faster today, all right? Because this morning we weren't moving fast enough, apparently, and we ran out of some time. I want to make sure we get to some more things this time around, all right? Thanks for the introduction, Josh, all right? I'll give you a little bit more information on that. I did start off right here. All right, I tell people I'd never been to church. I wasn't a church guy growing up. It wasn't like I was a rebel in the family. Just the whole family wasn't going to church. All right. And to be honest, none of the guys I hung around with, I can't remember anybody who was going to church or whose parents went to church. It just wasn't, I don't know. That's not the crew I was hanging with. All right. So at a certain point, church became a big part of my life, and it happened here in this place. All right. Josh's father, to be exact. And this guy's sitting right over here. I got to tell you a story about him because he's here. I don't like to speak about people when they're not here, all right? So he was there the first time that I, as Josh nicely put it, was ushered into the pulpit. I had done, we were responsible for preparing a message for the men's meeting on a Saturday. We had a men's group that met on Saturdays. And they said, well, OJ, we want you to bring the word on the Saturday. And I said, well, okay, I've been in church about a year now, and I study hard. I go get it. We'll figure this thing out, all right? He said, well, you and Marlon, Pastor Marlon, that's that guy over here, you guys can do it together. I said, all right. So it's getting closer to Saturday now. Must have been about Thursday. Marlon hits me with a handful of notes. Says, listen, I got this thing set up. I'm going to get all the food. I got the food figured out. It's coming through. And look, I got a bunch of notes for you. Go ahead and give that word. I said, all right. If that's how we're going to play it, let's play it that way. I took it and I said, I'll do that. I took the notes and we ran with it. Saturday went well. I got a call Sunday morning. Must have been 8 o'clock in the morning. And Marlon says, I see his name on the phone. I'm saying, well, something's happening in the church. Because if Marlon's calling me at 8 o'clock, there must be a hole in the roof. There's a leak. Somebody's car won't start. We're about to go get somebody right and get him to church on time. We got to pick some people. Something's going on if Marlon's calling me this early in the morning to get ready for church. I don't do 9 o'clock service, you know? So he says, yeah, Bishop wants you to come to the church. I said, all right, well, come for what? I'm trying to get some more information. He says, listen, that same word you did yesterday, he wants you to do it today for the whole congregation. I said, what? I said, just me? He said, well, listen, if you need him, he'll be up there with you. If that helps, he'll go up there with you. So I said, all right, let's do it. So we went up there for the first service and Bishop stood with me. And I guess we kind of went back and forth. We did it together. And then that second one, he said, listen, you're by yourself on the second one. So it didn't get any easier. The second service I did by myself. Now, that was 10 years ago. A lot has changed since then. And Josh was nice to say that the Lord was working some things out in my life. That's a nice way of putting it, that I was being drugged, all right, through the wilderness, all right, and battling, all right. I encourage all of you here. I've seen it before. Some people who just come up here and the very first time they hear a word, all right, somebody comes up here and they touch them and their life is forever changed and they don't look back. Okay, they're delivered from whatever it is they're battling with. That is absolutely amazing. All right. But I just let you know that there's another group of people, all right, who hear a word and hear it again and hear it 1,500 more times, all right, and still don't come forward. All right. And when they do come forward, it lasts for a day. It lasts for a week. It lasts for maybe 2 weeks. All right. And they're still back doing the same things they were doing before. All right. I'm in that group. So that whole 10 years, not the whole 10 years. All right. But I was struggling. I was in a desert. I was being, and I can't even say God was dragging me through the desert, because the truth is I made choices that put me in the wilderness and I drug the Lord through that desert with me. Understand? There's a big difference there. All right. He's faithful. He stayed with me. And I will say this, while I was doing my time, all right, in the wilderness, not in jail, in the wilderness, I was studying. All right. I was studying. I was working. I was in the word. I was in the word. I was in the word. I surrounded myself with it. I still had a few things I was holding on to. All right. That's called a lack of obedience. I just couldn't do it in some areas. All right. And not because the Lord wouldn't grace me enough to do it. To be honest, I didn't even want to ask him to. All right. Because I was scared. Because I said, if I ask for this, he might just do it. All right. All right. Don't be in that place. Okay. Don't be in that place. All right. And we'll get to that. So anyway, I have a word for you today. All right. I said it earlier. It's a bit of a hard word. And when I say a hard word, nothing to be scared of. You have to understand a hard word is good for the spirit. All right. A hard word is good for the spirit. It may make you a little bit uncomfortable. But listen, nobody knows the thoughts that are in your mind. Just keep smiling, nodding your head and saying amen. All right. And nobody will know that we're talking about us. All right. OK. So when you get a hard word, you just have to eat it sometimes. All right. Can anyone eat this food? Jesus asked. All right. All right. So he gave it to him. Listen, that's the problem with a lot of us in the body of Christ today. All right. We go places where we don't have to feel uncomfortable. So we go to a mega church sometimes, right? Go to a big one. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not knocking a mega church. But you know what's so great about that? I used to love it too. I can sneak right in and I can sit somewhere in the back and no one will say hello to me. No one will try to hug me. No one will try to ask me, hey, where you been, man? I haven't seen you in 2-3 months. All right. Nobody will say anything to me. They don't know me. I can just go in there, sneak in, sit at the back, get my little word and be out. Right? Comfortable. Okay. That's comfortable. You have a pastor who knows that I have to convict these people because that's the only way to make people move. You understand? All right. Don't be that person. All right. Don't be that person. I'll tell you a personal story and I'll make it quick. God is like a father. We know that, but he's the best father. All right. If you have children, you know, right? You have a child who does what they're supposed to do. For the most part, they're always doing right. All right. And when they do something wrong, you gently correct that child. All right. You're happy and you're encouraged that your child is moving. So you say, oh, yeah, I'm so glad you're moving. All right. And you're doing things. You're trying to get it done. You make a mistake here. Here's how we fix this. We can fix this and go like this. All right. We'll gently correct that child. You have another child that won't move. And you try and you try and you talk to them and they won't move. And they won't move. And you try to motivate them to move here. And you try to motivate them to move there. And they just won't move. What do you have to do? If you're a good father, you get to bring out the stick. Sooner or later, you have to bring out the stick for that child because you love them so much. You know the danger of them not moving, all right, and what it's going to do to their life. And you say, you've got to get moving. And now you got to bring out the stick. Don't be the child who needs the stick. All right. Move. All right. If you're not sure how to move, move anyway. All right. And the Lord can gently correct those children that move. All right. All right. So I was saying a hard word. There's so much pressure we put as the body of Christ. We put so much pressure on the pastors in the church. All right, to preach the word of God and give you that hard word. The word of God can convict, all right? It convict you in your heart and you can say in your spirit, wow, he's talking to me. And it can be upsetting sometimes, all right? Put your life in front of you and you say, man, I got to fix a few things. And you get upset. And now you picture a girl leaving the church, or a guy, let's say, all right, my picture was a girl, leaving the church crying. And then one of her girlfriends might call on the phone and say, hey, what's going on? Why are you crying? Didn't you just come from church? Yeah, well, you know, he said a few things and I'm just so upset and they won't even let you finish. Girl, you shouldn't be feeling that way. You just left church. You need to come to my church. We were laughing and joking in there the whole time. My pastor is so funny. Oh my goodness. It was amazing. The Starbucks. I had 2 cups of Starbucks right there in the church. They let me bring it in and drink it while I was in the church. All right. You should come to our church next week. You don't need to be over there doing all that crying. That's not what's supposed to happen when you go to church. All right. You let that sink in, because what's going to happen is your heart will get to a place where it'll become hardened, the Bible says. You have a hardened heart. By no fault of your own, you're going to church every single week, but your heart is now hardened because you cannot be convicted. You're above conviction. Because the message of grace, 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 and I get it. I love it. It's true. It's in the Bible, right? Paul pounded them with grace. He pounded them with grace. But if you take a good look at the people who were he was hitting with the grace message, it was those Jews who already knew the word of God. They were born and raised on the Ten Commandments and the law, and they understood it fully. And he was trying to get them to understand that Christ came now, and through grace you are saved. But when the same Paul, who they champion as the champion of the grace message, when he went to others, right, the Corinthians and some other people who did not know the word of God, you better believe he talked to them about adultery. He talked to them about fornication. He talked to them about all the sins you want to think about. They're all in there. The ones you cringe and you go, oh, yeah, I'm guilty again. Lying, cheating, all right? Everything under the book. We do it all right? If you do not allow yourself to be convicted, your heart will become hardened. You'll be above conviction. That's a bad place to be, a dangerous place to be, all right? Okay, so let's see. We're skipping some stuff, all right? We're skipping some of this stuff, all right? We got to skip because we did too much this morning, all right? So a hard word, we said that. Now, one thing I don't want to skip is this word is for you. All right. For you. All right. Oftentimes we get in the church and we hear a word, a very good word, and our mind goes to, oh, I wish John was here. He should have heard that. That's a perfect message for John. Or I wish my sister was here. She needed to hear that today. All right. And we do a whole lot of that. This word is for you today, not for anyone else. All right. It's for you to hear, for you to digest, for you to eat. All right. Okay. So we talked about in this message series, I was not here. I was made aware of it. Kendi is a friend of mine. All right. I speak to Kendi, Minister Kendi. We all love Minister Kendi, right? Okay, good. She calls me every now and then and says, you know, OJ, pray for so-and-so, a member of my small group. I don't know who that is. All right. But I pray. I stop what I'm doing and I pray. All right. And we do that. And I do the same with her. All right. Good to have those kind of people in your life. All right. Good to have. And if you don't have some, all right, find some. They're in this church and they're here and they're ready and they're willing. All right. To pray with you about what you need. Okay. Anyways, with Kendi, she told me we got into it. You guys had some of possessing the promise. Right. Possessing the promise. Pastor Josh did that. Covered that. Okay. Then you went into protecting the promise. With Kendi, she went over how to protect the promise in your life. And I said, okay, we'll go with the P's, alliteration, they call that if you're in school. All right, so let's get another P in there. So I said, let's get personal with the promise. All right, so let's get personal with the promise, okay? So that takes a little bit of vulnerability. I'll start. I'm that guy anyway, all right? I told you a bit of my life already, right? 10 years, all right, of struggling and fighting, all right? I won't even get into details because it's church, all right? A mess, though, okay? A mess. I don't want to make your problem seem small, and I said that to them last night, all right? I don't want to, there's people who were hurting in the room last night. There's people who are hurting in the room now. There's people who are facing things that are huge. There's people in this room going through things that you haven't even told anybody about, all right? You're just going to keep that to yourself, all right? I get that, and I understand where you are, and I'm not trying to make those problems small. What I am trying to do is, like the song said, let you understand how big God is. I'm not minimizing your problems one bit. Trust me. All right. What I'm trying to let you see is how big God is. All right. Your problems are small. Your problems are small. And I don't care what they are. That's how big God is. When you get to that point in your life, amazing things will start to happen in your life. All right. Now, when I say, don't be afraid, no fear. Well, that's easy for you to say, but you don't know what's going on in my life. But I know how big God is. What do I do that? The devil will keep coming and keep saying, this, putting this in your mind. This is the TV. This is on the radio. It's all going on. It's all circling around me. Fear, 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 fear. Where fear goes up, faith goes down. Yeah. All right. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. Yeah. All right. If fear goes up, faith goes down, you're broke. And you don't want to be broke in the kingdom of God. Right. Faith has to go up. Fear has to go down. All right. So I just repeat it to myself. All right. 2 Timothy 1:7. All right. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. All right. And you got to say it to him. As soon as I have a negative thought that comes in. All right. Romans 12:1-2. All right. Says, brethren, I beseech you by the mercy of God. All right. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. Transform your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but instead transform your mind. All right. So you may know what is good and acceptable and what is the perfect will of God. All right. Okay, so you have to repeat these things. You have to say these things when you come under attack. You have to put these things in your mind, all right? So next time fear comes up, next time there's a mass shooting or something like that, and you say, oh my God, I cannot let the kids go to Walmart to shop for school clothes. That's not the right answer. That's fear. Fear goes up, faith goes down. But instead you say, I've not been given a spirit of fear, all right? Then you jump to Psalm 91:7, right? And then you say to yourself, 1,000 may fall at my left side, 10,000 at my right, but it shall not touch me. Understand what I'm saying? Listen, that's the word of God. All right, I didn't make that up. That's in the book, okay? But you have to know what's in the book so you can speak it when the enemy comes. What did Christ do when they drug him out to the desert, all right? Christ went to the wilderness too, and we'll talk about that. All right, after his baptism, he was drug out there, not by his own like we do. He didn't drag himself out there like we do. God pushed him. The Spirit of the Lord, it says, Matthew 4, pushed him into the desert so that he could be tempted by the enemy. And what did he do? All right, he didn't cry out. He spoke the word of God back to the enemy. All right? And that's what you have to do. So I'm not trying to simplify your problem and say, don't be scared and say it's easy. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says to do. All right? The word of God comes across you. Fear comes upon you. You jump into 2 Timothy 1:7. All right? All right. You start to get worried and stressed out. And you're worried and you're stressed out. All right? You jump into Isaiah 26:3. All right? And you say, I've been given by the word of God, all right? You tell them, I have a sound mind, right? He whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you, all right, will be at perfect peace. Okay? So when peace, your peace is disturbed, I'll be at perfect peace. I have a sound mind. I trust you, Lord. My mind stays on you. I'm good. You repeat those scriptures, all right? And you'll be all right, okay? So I'm not trying to minimize your problem in here today one bit. I'm just trying to maximize the word of God, all right? Okay. So we talked about the promise and getting real with the promise, all right? Personal with the promise. So if I have to get personal with the promise for a lot of my life, my question would be, where is the promise at? If you want to get personal, right? Where is the promise, man? You told me to possess it. I took good notes. I'm trying to do some of that stuff. And you told me to protect it. All right, I took notes then too. I'm trying to do some of that stuff. But listen, not to say none of it was new. Some of that I've heard before. And to be honest, I've been practicing that. Where is the promise? That's a tough place to be. I have passion and my heart goes out to people in that position. Now, if you're out here messing up all the time, I got a heart for that too, all right? But I can just say, you're messing up. I mean, get your life together and you'd be better off, right? That's easy, right? But what do you tell the person who is trying to do their best, all right? They're doing the things that they think are right in the sight of God, right? And they still are not walking in the promise. Tough place to be. Tough place to be. And time goes by and time goes by. And now you start to wonder, sometimes through fault of our own, if we're honest with ourselves, I blew that. Man, I blew that. And you keep thinking about 5 years ago, man, I should have done this. Man, I should have been here. I know I heard the Lord told me to go there. I didn't get to it. I want to encourage you today. All right, he is a good God. And I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that everything will be okay. Hey, whenever you decide to do it, that's God's perfect timing. You've heard that one, right? Oh, don't worry about it happening. God's perfect timing. Lies. Lies. God's perfect timing is the first time he told you to do it. You chose to do something else. God is so good. God is so good, and he can see into the future and knew you were going to do that. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go over here and fix this anyway. I'm going to go over here and fix this because I know that in January 5th, 2014, they weren't going to do what I told them to do. But it's 2019 now. I see what's going to happen. I'm going to bring that back around for them and let them get another shot at it. Okay? That's how good God is. Don't ever fool yourself into thinking because I've made some choices and things seem to be okay in my life, hey, maybe God's just blessing me. God has rules to live by, all right? He cannot bless you in rebellion. Don't get it confused. The Bible says that the rain falls on the good man as well as the wicked. If you're a farmer, they had a lot of farm analogies back then. A lot of the people were farming and doing that was the life, farming and fishing, right? Farming and fishing. A lot of farming analogies, a lot of fishing analogies, right? If the righteous man plants his crops right here, and the wicked man plants his crops right here, the rain has to fall on both of the crops, both the fields, right? That's just nature. That's the way the planet is made. That's the way God made the planet. Let not the wicked man think I'm being blessed of God, though, because the rain's falling on my crops. Understand? All right? So never confuse that. And you get to a point where you think, I guess I'm doing all right, man. God blessed me with this. He blessed me with that. God, the blessings that come from God are perfect. You understand? Perfect blessings come from God. The so-so blessings you get sometimes, those up and down, it was good, now it's not that good, and it's okay, it's such a struggle sometimes, but I think it was of God. Those are the things that you chose for yourself, and God in his goodness came behind you and said, I'm going to try and fix that for you here. I can't promise you it's going to be the amazing thing, but I'm going to fix that as best I can right here for you, and I'm going to fix that for you over here, okay? That's God, that's how he works. That's an amazing God, all right? Okay, so I had a question, and when I was writing it up, I said, in the desert, and it was question marks. All right, are we in the desert? And then God said, just take out those question marks and put exclamation marks. All right, you're in the desert. All right, but before we get on to all that, he was talking to me. All right, how many of you feel that you have entered into the promised land and you're walking in the promise by hands? Okay, I didn't get to this part. I skipped too much because I see not a single hand went up. Listen, I don't need a whole lot of cooperation, you know what I mean? But I do need hands to go up. I'm not going to ask you to say this to your neighbor. Hey, turn to your neighbor and give him a high five. I'm not going to do that. You might not want to touch your neighbor. I'm with you. I never liked people touching me when I was in church, when I first got there. Now I'm hugging people all the time. Something changed, all right? But when I first got to this church, one thing I didn't like was all the hugging, all right, and all the unnecessary touching, all right? It was too much. All right, but now I'm a hugger. Things change, all right? God comes and changes you, all right? Anyway, so what I do need, though, you don't have to tap your foot 3 times, shuffle to the left, and tell your neighbor, Scooby-Doo. You don't have to do any of that, all right? But we want to raise our hands, all right, if it applies, all right? Okay, let's do a practice round of raising the hands. Let's just raise your hand if the sky is blue. All right, you guys are good. You guys, I love this participant. You guys are good. You guys are good. All right, so participation, again, let's not go with that one. Who would say that they are in a desert right now? Okay, good, I like that. Some people, who they're cheating because they were here last night. All right, they were here last night. We had some revelations last night, all right? So a couple people thought they were in a desert, all right? So then I ask again, who has entered into the promised land? Okay, a couple there, okay. So that represents about 10% of the room. So my question for the other 90% in the room is, where are you? Where are you? All right? Listen, if there's a map, if you're old school and there's a map in the mall, they have a star, all right, and you can say, you are here. So you know where you're at, right? If you're new school, then you got a phone and you turn your location on. I like to turn mine off because I feel like they're tracking me sometimes, all right? But you have your location on, you mash a button, all right, and it'll tell you exactly where you are. Put you right on the corner. You're at the corner of this, you're at the corner of that, all right? I'm asking you now, where are you? We'll call today an audit. We'll take a self-audit, all right? Where are you? I'm here to tell you, if you didn't raise your hand, I'm wondering if it's because you don't know where you're at. You're not sure where you're at, but I'll tell you where there's only two options. There are only two places that you can be. You either are in the desert or you're in the promise. That's it. That's it for your options. So if you're not in the promise, then you're in the desert. Dangerous place to be. The desert's a dangerous place, but even more so if you're in the desert and don't know you're in the desert. All right? Turn on your spiritual awareness. Turn that, flip that switch, please. All right? It's an 80-10 rule, 80-20 rule. I got a lot of rules. There was a 90-10 rule. Let me jump on the 90-10 rule because it's important. We talked about it last night with the leadership group, the people who are volunteering their time for your church, getting this place ready to go each day. 90% of the work being done by 10% of the people. Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. That wouldn't work on the job, right? It'd be chaos on the job if you went to work each day and 90% of the work was being done by 10% of the people. It'd be rebellion on the job, right? Yeah. So this walk of life is a little bit different because you're volunteering, and I get it. Christ even said, it's not a new thing. Christ said it. There's a lot of work. The harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Yeah. Jesus said it. All right. Come on out and work. Come on out and work. You'll never attain a higher level of greatness doing anything else beyond serving God with excellence. When you are serving God with excellence, you are moving in what God created you to be. You are version 2.0. God had servants in his kingdom. They were doing this and that for him, whatever they do up there, all right? He said, you know what? I want a little bit more. I want a 2.0 version. Apple phones are on version 19, all right? He said, but the next version is always a little bit better, right? A little bit faster, a little bit more efficient. And he said, I want a 2.0 version. I want them to serve me. All right. And I'm going to make it a little bit different. I'm not going to put them and subject them to servitude, but instead I'm going to give them the capacity to love like me. I'll make them in my own image so they can love like me. And then I'm going to just drop them there and see what they do. I'll give them a choice. All right. You don't have to love God. He gave you the choice. He also created a spot in you. All right. That he can house his very own spirit. All right. That's unique. That's unique. That's a big deal. The spirit of the Lord can be up in you. Understand what I'm saying? And Christ said, I'm in him. All right. I'm in you. It's us all together. Three. Him and me and we. All everybody. All right. We're all together in this thing. That's how it's going to work out. All right. So it's an amazing thing. And then to operate at your highest function is then doing what? What you were created to do. Serve God. Now he gave you the choice, of course. All right. But if you want to be great, if you want to achieve greatness, you can't achieve it in any other way. All right, then doing what he created you to do. Help out and serve, man. If you're a teacher, you deal with these bad kids all week. We got some good kids back here, man. Got the spirit of the Lord in them. All right, come give us some of what you got. You're a teacher already. We just need you for a little bit. All right, come in here and help, okay? Anyways, let's get back to it before I lose my spot. Deserts. deserts, all right? So we were in deserts. Nobody knew they were in a desert, but you're in a desert, all right? So let's figure out some ways. We can get some ways here that'll help you know if you're in a desert, because there's a couple things that bother me about that. It's kind of like being at the gym and you see people who are working out. And listen, I've been playing football and working on doing them things my whole life, all right? So I've had some of the top trainers in the world. You play in the NFL, they don't just let anybody come in there and train. You got some of the best personal trainers in the world, right? Okay, so I know a few things when it comes to getting right, getting in shape. And when I go to the gym, sometimes I see them in there, and I love them. God bless them because they're here, all right? Before you're able to do something, you have to be available to do something, right? So they're there, they're available, they're trying to get it. What they're doing is just not going to get it. And I always wonder sometimes, some people are approachable, you know, and some people don't want to be bothered. Sometimes I just go anyway, it's just in me. I say, hey, man, that's not going to work, bud. The way you're pulling, that's not going to work here. I will show you the correct way to pull that down, all right? The treadmill bothers me a lot, too, because I see a lot of people in the treadmill trying to get it. The problem with the treadmill is you don't start to get anything done until it starts to hurt a little bit. The heart rate has to go up to a certain point. And then you start to burn calories, whatever you're trying to do, or you start to get more in shape, all right? When you feel like you can't breathe all of a sudden, yeah, you're starting to work a little bit. When you get that little cramp, it usually starts about right here, you know what I mean? And it feels like I'm going to die if I don't stop. That's what your body's always going to tell you, that because it wants to quit. Understand what I'm saying? It wants to quit. You're pushing me too hard, says the body. The brain has to take over and say, no, we came here to work out. Let's get it, all right? Here's a good advice when you're on that treadmill. Just as it starts to hurt, we want to knock the speed down a little bit. Whew, oh, that's better. Yeah, maybe check my phone, all right. Okay, I think I feel better, let's put this back up. All right, get going a little bit. And just when it's about to start working for you, start to be effective and really do you some good, put that thing back down again. And that's how you go on the treadmill up and down. You never get any work done. You can stay on there for half an hour, 45 minutes. It doesn't matter. And you leave the gym and you put the towel around your neck. Yeah, you'll post something, 45 minutes of cardio. I'm in here doing the most, all right? And then you look in the mirror and you're like, man, it's been 2 months. I've been doing 45 minutes three times a week. I don't know what's going on. I don't think my body is, it doesn't work for me. It'll work for you. You're not doing it right. You don't have to be on that thing for 45 minutes. Get on that thing for a good 15 minutes. Decide on what speed you're going to go and leave it right there. When it starts to hurt, you keep going. All right? Decide ahead of time. Don't overdo it so you kill yourself, but set it somewhere right. The next day, you can always come in and push it up a little bit higher the next day. All right? Stay on there. When it starts to hurt, you stay in there and you keep working. All right? Don't slow down. All right? All right. Same thing in life. We'll get to it. Now, I'm in a desert. You don't know you're in a desert, so let me help describe this desert you're in. It's a dry place. We got some, number one, all right? Arid. Not a lot of rain in the desert, all right? It's a dry place and it's barren, okay? Think about your life. Think about your life. One thing about a desert, all right? Here's a scripture for you. When an unclean spirit, a demon, comes out of a man, it roams through dry places, searching for rest, but it finds none. All right, so it says to itself, I'm going to return to the house that I came from. When it gets there, it finds it empty, cleaned out, and all everything removed, right? So it says, I'm going to go get 7 more demons, even more wicked than myself. They dwell there, and the final state of the man is worse than the first. Matthew 12:43-45, if you like Luke better, he's a lawyer, a little bit more straightforward, all right? Luke 11:23-24-26, okay? That scripture is mostly about being saved, getting your life together, all right, having everything right on track, but not filling that space with anything. You cleared some stuff out, but you didn't fill it up with anything. So you got a lot of room there, a lot of space, and that demon said, I'm coming right back, man. It's an empty room in that house, and I'm back up in it. All right? All right. Can you end up in the promised land and go back to the desert? Absolutely. Absolutely. You can get to the promised land, walk in it for a little while, and end up right back in the desert. All right? So another thing to let you know, it's a dry place. Demons are there. Some of us are struggling with stuff and we don't even realize it because, again, I talked about the 80-20 rule and got distracted. 80-20, right? Back on the 80-20 rule. 10% of wickedness, 10% of the things you see in the spiritual realm as you go out through your day, 10% of it's going to be way over here on the left, just wicked. And you knew as soon as you came out your house when you saw, ooh, that's wicked. It's some wicked people out here doing crazy stuff. Whether you saw it on the news, whether you saw it happen to witness it live, right? You heard about it, radio, TV, whatever, on your phone. That was crazy. That was wicked. I know that's of the enemy, right? Way over here on the right, another 10% of the stuff you go through in your regular day. Like, isn't that sweet? That's amazing. Look at God. Oh, that's a miracle right there. That's amazing, right? 10% on the right, 10% on the left. That leaves 80% of spiritual stuff going on around you all day that you're not putting a label on. Just stuff. And you walk through it thinking, it's okay, this is a gray area, I guess. Yeah, I heard that song. It sounds kind of ratchet, but it's not that bad. All right? Label it. Is it of God? Is it not? Oh, I heard it on the radio. That radio station's okay. They bleeped it out. They bleeped it out. If they didn't bleep it out, is it of God? No. So they bleeped out a few cuss words. Now it's of God? No. Don't be afraid to label these things. I'd rather you label it and say to yourself, I'm still going to listen to that. Even though I know it's not of God, it probably means it's of the enemy. It absolutely is, all right? But I'm going to listen to it anyway. I'd rather you say that, because then at least the Holy Spirit can work on you, can convict you, and can say, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't listen to as much of that. And you can cut out a few things, all right? There's other things in your life that are going on in the same way. Label it, put a name on it. That's not of God. Don't just walk through it thinking, yeah, I guess it's okay. You know it's not, all right? And I'm not saying you have this power right now to overcome it, all right? It might take a while, okay? One, we said you have to recognize it and see it for what it is before you can say, God, help me with this. A lot of us won't even ask for that help because, like I said, I didn't want the help. I didn't want you to fix it for me, God. I'm comfortable here in this desert, all right? Two, the desert is extreme, highs and lows. The temperature in the desert can get to 125 degrees, all right, in the daytime. That's hot. And at nighttime, it can drop to 25 degrees, right? You remember, that's extremes, right? Extremely high, extremely low. Now think about your life. Sunday, I woke up, I was feeling so good. Woke up this morning, yeah, feeling blessed by God, right? Well, that's a favorite song of mine, but anyways. You feel blessed. You're feeling great. Everything's moving along. Relationship is great. Job is great. Everything is cool. Man, by Monday night, I can't take this anymore. This life is killing me. I don't like this person. I don't like this relationship. What happened? Up and down, extreme emotions, right? Extreme things happening in your life. That's a sign of being in a desert, right? Okay, extremes, all right? God was with his people in what? A cloud by day when they're in the desert, and what? A pillar of fire by night. Why? Because it's 25 degrees. What do you think? He was just giving them light, didn't want them to sleep, and wanted them to see fire all night long? No, it was because it was cold, right? The cloud was because it was hot during the day, 125 degrees, all right? And God was there with them. A pillar, a cloud by day, a pillar by night. Extremes, you're in a desert. Three, same old, same old, all right? Same old, same old. That's right, baby, same old, same old. You look at pictures of a desert, and what do you see? Sand. As far as the eye can see, nothing changing on that landscape. The same old thing, the same old prayers, right? The same old people, the same old thing, the same old job. Nothing's ever changing around here over and over and over. It's just the same old thing. God says, look, I'm doing a new thing. God is moving, all right? And if you're stuck in a rut, you're not just in a rut, you're in the desert, all right? You got to know you're in a desert or else you'll never be able to get out. The desert is a hard place. You're not thriving in the desert, all right? You're surviving in the desert. If you look at your life and you say, man, I'm struggling, wait until Friday. I'm just trying to make it through till Friday. I'm just trying to hang on till Friday or hang on till Sunday, whatever it is, right? I'm just trying to get through. I'm just trying to survive. All right? You're in the desert. Okay? Tough. It's tough. I understand that. I'd rather we're honest with ourselves, do a real audit of where we are, all right, than keep walking around and smiling. I'm blessed and highly favored. Yes, that's true. But you're in the desert, all right? You want to get into the promised land. Let's get there, baby. All right? All right. This one, I want to say, bothers me the most about desert life. There's no moving. There's no life. There's no movement. I was telling a story earlier. I was working out in Arizona, and it was my first couple of days there. And I got out there early because I wanted to get used to it, the schedule and whatnot. So I'm at the hotel, and I don't have a car. You know, they come pick you up, take you to the facility and whatnot. I said, man, I got a couple more days of freedom before NFL training camp because it's rough. You're going from 6 a.m. till about 11 p.m. every single day, and it's a lot, right? And that's as a player. Coaching is way worse. The coach is there 2 hours before the players and 2 hours after the players, right? Anyways, so I said, let me go to the movies real quick. My last day of freedom. I'm going to go check out this movie real quick. It wasn't too far over there. This was a few years back, so Uber wasn't really popping like that, right? So I said, I'm going to walk. I'm in shape. I'll just walk. You know what I mean? A good walk is good. So I said, I'll just walk. It's not that far. I remember when we passed, when we came off that exit from the highway, I said right before the bridge, I saw a big mall movie theater and all that, right? So I just got to walk, come out the hotel, walk up over the bridge, over the highway, come down on the other side. I said about 15 minutes, right? I look at my phone and tell you how long the walk is. It should have had a warning sign telling me where you are, and boy, don't make that walk. I started to walk, and I start to realize, one, nobody else was out here with me. It's about 1 o'clock, about noon, and the heat was hitting me as 118 degrees in the desert in Arizona, and the heat was hitting me in the face like a heater was in my face. I said, all right, I'm going to tough this out. I'm cool. I'll make it. I'm not going to fall out. But I realized people were staring at me when they drove by in their cars. My first thought was, but don't we see black people a lot around here? And I looked at it. Well, that wasn't it. It was some black people. They were staring too, all right? I said, okay, well, it's not that. And it actually reminded me, I'm an equal opportunity offender. This morning I talked about black church being long, all right? Remind me where we were, because I got to get to this. Let me tell you about this Hispanic church that I went to up in Atlanta. Now, the black church is long, right? My friends called me the other day. They wanted to go to a movie. It was like 9:30. They know I'm on my way to church. They want to catch me quick, hey, to make plans. After church, we'll go to the movies. And I said, well, listen, what time are you thinking? Because I'm at black church today. And we'll probably get out of here. It starts at 10. We'll probably get out of here about 1:30. All right. Now, if the Holy Ghost breaks out, we'll be here till 2:30. Easily. All right. Now, Hispanic church, let me tell you something. You guys heard of El Rey Jesus? And so they're down here, right? So they had a guy named Pastor Andy. He was their youth pastor. He was there for like 15 years. All right. He's up in Atlanta now, started a church called Supernatural Culture. So I'm up in his church, visiting him, good guy, great guy. You'll know him because he'll be yelling, Holy Ghost fire! And he'll run and jump off the stage and do something crazy, screaming, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. All right, man, all right, Holy Ghost fire. At some point, after about 3-4 hours, I looked up, because we were worshiping and doing all kind of stuff, and I looked up, and they had formed a Congo line. And we're going through the church. They were going through the church. And I said, what are we doing? How do we get to the Congo line? And they put their hands up like this. Over here. And you had to go up underneath the whole thing. And I said, what are we doing? I mean, it's 4 hours now, man. I said, you better jump in the line, though. Because if you don't jump in the line, we'll never get out of here until everybody's all in, right? I said, I'm in too, then. I'm jumping in Congo lines, and I'm in church. All right, so it's not just black church. It's a lot of long church. All right. Anyway, so we're back in the desert. No movement, no life. All right. Another sign that you are in a desert. It's hard. Things don't grow in the desert. You're planting your seed. You're planting your seed. No return. You're in a desert, man. That's tough. Right. That's tough to make anything grow and come to life in a desert. All right. So we figured out we're in a desert now. Maybe some of you have thought, you know what? That some of that describes my life. So I'm in a desert. Why? God, why? How'd I get here? You know, how'd I get here? Some of us know, all right? Some of us will say, well, temptation, the devil got a hold of me and now I'm in this desert. But that's not what the Bible says, right? The Bible says that man, all right, himself, based on his own choices, right, leads himself into a desert. He's led astray by his own desires, right? His own sinful desires. So you took yourself into the desert, all right? Now, I will make an exception for that. God does take us out to a desert from time to time. So some of you are like, yeah, that's me. God took me out to the desert. All right, there's few of us who can raise our hand and say that. All right, and if it was you that he took out there, it was to prepare you for something. That's what he does. Matthew 4, Jesus Christ himself, right fresh off of a baptism, it says the Spirit of the Lord pushed him into the desert to be tempted by the enemy, to be prepared for something. All right, God was preparing him for something or preparing him as an example for us. Either way, all right? But listen, if that's your situation, that's for a time. That's for a season. God will take you out to a desert. You understand what I'm saying? If you feel you've been out there for a little bit longer than a season, all right, some of those things we talked about describe your life and it's been a while, that's not what's happening. This was based on our second thing, choices. Choices will get you in a desert. All right, tough. It's tough sometimes, but it's real. All right, choices. And I'm not talking the big ones. You don't have to murder anybody. All right, you didn't have to cheat in your marriage or anything like that. All right, even though that happens a lot. Okay. Small stuff. Unforgiveness. It says, before you bring your offering up here, man, go and make right with your brother. And we kind of pick and choose the stuff in the Bible we want to listen to sometimes. Like a buffet, you know? I just take the stuff I like. And I leave the rest of it. I won't even taste it. All right? That's not real. And we said we were going to get personal, right? Okay. So we're making choices. We're at a crossroads. Who do I got? My man. What's your name? Say it again. Okay, come on up. I need you. It's easy. It's not even a speaking role, man. All right? If it was a speaking role, I'd have had you prepared. All right, come on. You're going to make a move with me. I want you to grab. Can we get one of those bags? Thank you, Brother Bill. Thank you. Okay, so you're at a crossroads right now, all right? He's not representing himself, church. He's representing all of us, okay? Let's not put this on him, okay, when I say he's about to make a bad choice in life. It's on all of us, all right? I want you to start walking. That's the desert. It's that way. Mount Sinai is over here, all right? I want you to make a right turn at Mount Sinai, and you're just going to come through that desert and meet us back over here, all right? Take that bag with you, all right? Take your time, man. It's hot in the desert. Don't walk too fast. All right. So in life, my life, all right, is a good way to describe this. All right. I played football. We had something called the penalty lap. I started opening day as a rookie. All right. So when that happens, the veteran players, they know what they're doing. They've run these plays before. They've been doing it for a while. When you're a rookie, everything is brand new to you. All right. And just have a seat right over here, my man. You could have a seat. So when you do something wrong, you just accrue penalty laps. So if you jump off sides, it's a penalty lap. Now, why were you jumping off sides, OJ? Because I didn't know the snap count. Or why didn't you know the snap count? They say it in the huddle. Well, because before they say the snap count, they say a play. And the play is long, man, long. And I'm just trying to remember, where do I line up? And then when I line up right, well, what do I do when I get here? I know I'm supposed to run a route. Which route is it? I don't break it 8 yards. I break it 10 yards. If I break it 8, it'll be wrong. All right. What's the defense they're in? Because depending on the defense, I might run this way. Run. A lot of things are going through your mind. And then all of a sudden you realize, man, snap. What's the snap count? You don't know it. You jump off sides. That's a penalty lap. You accrue a penalty lap. OK, so now after practice, I got to go run a lap. Usually I have to run about 5 of them. All right. Same thing in life. Same thing God says to us. He loves us. It's not a problem. You're going to make mistakes. But when you do, you got to take a lap around the desert. You understand? The promised land was a 14-day walk. You can go look at it. All right. It's still there. All right. You can see the walk that they had, the Israelites, when they were in the desert and they were moving, coming out of captivity in Egypt. They wanted to get to the promised land God had waiting for them, a land of milk and honey. Right. 14-day walk. Took them 40 years to get there. Why? Choices they kept making. Choices they kept making that God kept saying, take a penalty lap. Man, take a lap. All right. Come on, man. You got through. Grab one of those envelopes right there. All right. Look, I'm not even going to ask. All right. I already know what time it is. You're at a crossroads again, but you didn't learn your lesson yet, buddy. I can just tell looking at you, looking at us. All right. Let's see what you got. All right. Open that up. What's that say? That's yours. Oh, man. That number. Well, go ahead, grab another bag and then take another walk. You got another lap coming. While we take these laps, all right, while we make these choices and God says, I love you, but you can't come into the promised land until you let some things go. Listen, what you accrue is scars. All right. You'll be OK. I'm not in here to tell you you're going to hell. All right. Hell is reserved for people who don't believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, that he died and rose from the dead and that he's the Son of God. You believe that, you'll be OK. All right. But for that blessing that you wanted, for that good life on earth, I would have fainted or I would have quit had I not believed I see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 27:13. For that, you got to make some better choices. All right. 4 years in the desert, my man. And it says some mental and some physical abuse. So you can come on back. You'll be changed in 4 years. All right. You took a couple laps. Come on back. Grab an envelope too, man. Yeah, keep carrying those bags. Maybe put one over your shoulder. So listen, You open it this time for me, okay? Listen, God is good, all right? His mercies are renewed each morning, okay? So when you come to this crossroads, he's not looking at you like, come on, man, you back here again? He's not disappointed in you. In fact, he's encouraged because he knows each time you make a bad decision, he knows, you know what? He can look into your future and say, on the 250th chance, he's going to make the right decision. And all we got left is 249. All right? All right. He's encouraged by that. Okay? Oh, man. What does it say?
Number one, baby.
1 year. You'll be back in a year. It's going to take you a year to get through this time. And now you got a baby with you, man. All right? We got a baby. But you didn't get the bag, man. Get the bag. That's some baggage, okay? Because we end up with some baggage when we're walking in the desert. These decisions we make in our life sometimes, all right? So now you made some choices in your life, and we can all look back at choices we made in our life, all right? I got two babies out of wedlock, all right? Because I'm being honest with y'all up here, right? And I knew better. In fact, his dad told me that's not the one. Told me. All right, we talk about God's not speaking to me. I keep asking God. I don't hear from God. Well, people of the Lord can lead you in the right direction too. I knew I was out there doing wrong, but I was taking that risk. I said, you know what? I'll go out there and I'll go back in the desert, Lord, because there's some things I need to do. I'm not finished. So I'll take another lap. I know the consequence. I'm going to take another lap. And I'm going to roll these dice and just hope that when I open that envelope, it's not too bad. All right? A lot of us are playing that game or have played that game. All right? We're holding on to things. We're not giving things up that the Lord wants us to let go of. All right? So we end up with scars. We end up with kids. Yeah, we love the babies. All right? But don't look at the babies and say, that must have been meant to be. Oh, what a precious baby. That was meant to be. That was God's plan for my life. Was not. Now, the spirit in that baby, all right, God knew me before I was in my mother's womb, all right, is the same spirit where it would have been the same spirit no matter where you had that baby. Understand what I'm saying? That is legit. Maybe it looked a little bit different, all right, but you don't love your baby for how it looks. You love your baby for who they are and the spirit that's in them. All right. But there are some things we're doing when we're having these kids out of wedlock and not according to God's plan. Again, he is a great God. And he'll fix it on the back end. But we got some stuff now that we got to help our kids work out of. Yeah. All right. Some stuff has been attached to them. All right. Because of the way they came to be. All right. And you're going to have to pray that stuff off. You're going to have to keep it going. It's going to be some tough. It's going to be a tough road sometimes. And that's not just with the babies, with all the choices we make. All right. You married somebody. Not who God had for you. All right. But you wanted it. He let you have it. All right. He gave you freedom of choice. All right. But now it's going okay. All right. And you had some tough times and you've been through it. But, you know, you came into a good church. You got a foundation. You got a base. You love the Lord. You both love the Lord. Now you're serving God and he's worked some things out for you. Blessed. Right. Just never get it twisted. He blessed that on the back end for you. That's how good God is. He came in and said, I saw the choice you made in 98. Man, you were tripping in 98. You should have listened. But hey, I'm not going to even rub it in. I even forgot about it. That's who I am. I'm God. I forgot about it. All I'm trying to do now is fix it for you. Okay? So he'll fix it for you. And you say, man, I'm blessed. Yes, you are blessed. All right? But God's blessings are perfect. So when you see some imperfections in your marriage, in your relationship, all right, don't blame God. Don't doubt if that's the person for you. Say, that's the person I have now. And I'm trusting in a good God to work this out. All right? All right, grab one of those bags and come on, man. Open that up while you're on your way up. All right, so it's been some years now. I can't remember. We went out for a year. We came back with a baby. We went out for 4 years. There was some mental and physical abuse. It's real out there. It's real in the desert, huh? Yeah, it's real in the desert. All right. I see a 3, so you're going back, man. 3 more years. Ooh, because we're adults in here. Okay, what's that say?
STD.
All right, well, we're all grown, and that's just real, all right? That's just real, out here messing around, and, well, listen, those kind of things happen when you're messing around in the desert, man. We talk about it, it's a rough place, right? And now you got an STD, I hope it's one of those you can get a shot for and get it fixed, all right? All right. Keep walking, my man. Keep walking. We'll see you in 3 years. You'll be back at the crossroads. There's crossroads in your life. All right. What are you holding on to? okay? At a certain point, he's beginning to see it, and it's we now. It's not just him, it's we. We're beginning to see a pattern here. Now we're starting to realize, look at what I brought myself through. Look at where my life is. How did I get here? We said, how did I get to this desert? Oh, man, I made some choices, right? Man, I made some choices. I'm determined to start making better choices. I'm going to start making better choices in my life. I've heard them say God is so good, he's going to fix it for me. Yes, that's true. He will start making better choices, right? Now I'm making better choices. Now I'm rolling. Well, what's the problem, man? Where's the promise? Where's the promise? Where's the promise? I'm ready to enter into the promised land, right? Come on, come on. You got another bag? You got enough bags. Come on. You can't. Oh, you got the bags. All right. Yeesh. Okay, you're going to be back. You'll be back, right? It's going to take you about another 4 years. Married. That's great, man. Congrats. All right. Ooh, divorced. That's tough. And look. Oh, you're right. There's a little sad face. A little sad face on there, too. Go ahead, man. Get to walking. You know the route now, right? Yeah. All right, so back into the desert. And why this time, God? Because I'm doing what you wanted me to do. I go to church. I even go on Wednesdays sometime. All right? Yeah, I go every weekend. All right? Sometimes when it's raining, I don't go because I'm not going out in the rain. But I go to church. And if it's raining, I watch it on TV, right? Yeah, I watch it on TV, not the whole thing, but I watch a little bit till the commercial comes and I flick to something else. But I'm with you, God, all right? So why am I still in this wilderness? What are you holding on to? Submission, all right? We don't like that word in the Bible. We don't like to have to submit, all right? We don't like to submit to God's way. We try to find another way around it, all right? We read the stuff that applies. The good stuff, we take that, like we said, like a buffet, but we don't submit fully to God. There's a thing called a monkey trap. I'm not calling anybody a monkey. I wish it was a different animal. I don't like calling people monkeys. That's a personal thing. I don't call me a monkey. All right. Anyways, monkey trap is what we have. All right. A monkey trap. It's amazing because this is real. When I first heard about it, I was like, come on. I doubt that. So I had a picture of it. I had a video. I don't even want to let you see the video. Because the video was disturbing. All right, because the monkey it had sound, and the monkey was making all this noise. Anyways, what they do is a real basic trap. They have a coconut, and it's attached to a chain. All right? They put a little hole in the coconut, and they put some food in there. The monkey will put his hand in and grab the food and then make a fist to pull it out, and his hand is stuck now. Can't get it out the hole. Now, when the hunters come to gather up the monkey, this monkey's been pulling. He stopped. He rested some. He's still pulling. He sees them coming. They are coming to kill you, monkey. And I'm saying, run, little monkey, run. Let it go, man. Let it go. You don't need that bad. Let it go. Screaming, yelling, twisting his hand, doing flips. That's why I didn't. The monkey was doing flips, trying to get his hand loose, but would not let it go. Let it go. Pull your hand out. Left it right in there. Well, they killed the monkey. The monkey is dead, trying to hold on to some crumbs, some nuts, whatever it was. What are you holding on to, and at what cost? And when do you let it go? Who have you not forgiven in your life, right? Some of us have not forgiven God. Because you tried to do it God's way when you were 16, 17, 18, 19, and it didn't work out. And you said, you know what, man, I tried it. It didn't work, God. I don't trust God anymore. Some of this stuff I trust, you know, I'm going to do it because I think some of this stuff is right. But I'm holding on to this because I trust myself in this area more than I trust God. And you won't let it go. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? It's doing damage to you, to your life. There's a cost of not letting it go. Let it go. Trust God. I said we get personal up in here today, right? It's on you. I can see it in some of your faces. You're thinking of something. You know you're holding on to some things in your life, and you're wondering, could that be it? That's it. That is it. You're holding on to it, and God wants you to let it go and to do it His way. If you're single, we'll be talking about some of that tonight, because if you're single and you get to a certain age, a lot of that's going to go on now. Because at this point, you've decided, I can do it my way. I know better than the Word of God. The Word of God is not realistic. It's 2019, God. Who's doing that? All right? The word of God is the same yesterday. The word of God is the same today, and it'll be the same tomorrow. All right? Because it applied to a woman in the 1700s. And you're like, well, I don't know what they were doing in the 1700s, but that's not realistic for me. It is. That's God's word. It doesn't change because the time changes. All right? Because times change because society changes. What do you need to let go? I'm not calling you a monkey, but if you got your hands wrapped around something so tight and you won't let it go, even in the face of death, right? You got to wonder, what am I doing? The relationship I'm holding on to, all right? Whatever it is, it's on your mind. Whatever it is, let it go, man. Let it go. Well, I can't let it go. This has happened to me. That has happened to me. Life has taught me this. You know, I'm independent. Because the world teaches us that independent equals confident. I get confidence from my independence in the world, right? I don't need anybody. I don't need a man. I don't need anybody. I don't need these parents. I don't need these people telling me what to do. I went and got mine. I can do this. I can take care of myself. All right? I'm independent, right? In the kingdom of God, it's reversed. All right? Dependence brings confidence. You know why I'm so confident up here today and I can speak to you and actually tell you right from wrong and tell you what to do in your life? You can't do that unless you've been through some stuff, number one. I'm not the type of guy to just come up here and tell you what I think might work. I know what works. I know what dependence on God can get you versus what depending on yourself can get you. All right? I know these things. And I've been through these things and I worked them out. And I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord came to me. It was a prophetic word on my life years ago. And I said that this morning. There's another thing that came this morning. I didn't add it. Maybe it wasn't for that group, but it's for you now. All right. The Lord said, man, you've been through some things and you've overcome some things. I need you to show them how to do it. I need you to show them how to do it. All right. You got to let go and you have to trust God. Trust God that he can do more with that 10% of your increase than you can. You can live off the 90%, God, the 90% of that check. That's 90%. If they give you $1,000 on your check, you can't give $100 to God. Trust him. Trust him. Well, I'm going to invest that $100. You got a better investment plan than God has? Invest your money in God. All right? Trust him. Oh, I don't know about that tithing stuff, man. But when they say, I feel a breakthrough is coming. I feel a breakthrough is coming. And then you're running the church. Yes, that breakthrough is for me. I'm claiming it. I'm keeping that. That's my breakthrough. If the Lord can't trust you to give $100 out your check, what do you think? He's going to drop 50 grand in your lap? And you're going to give him 5 grand out of that? No. You trust yourself more. So you say, I got bills this week. Oh, I don't know, man. I got kids to feed. God knows you have kids to feed. God knows you have bills. Take it to another level. I'm all about higher levels. Push yourself. If you're already tithing 10%, give 20, man. And see where it gets you. Trust God. If you're not tithing, you're making a mistake. I promise you, you're making a mistake. I did it my whole life. But I used to itch. I used to want to leave the church. They start talking about money in the church, I'm out, man. I'll be ready to leave. I'm like, man, I should never come here. I tell you, all they talk about is money. All they talk about is money in this church. Money, money, money. But when I was going in the club and they asked me for my 20 bucks, South Beach, they want 20 bucks for a drink. 20 bucks? I'll give it all to them. I never said, all you want is my money, man. All you want is my money. Never said that. Go to the movie theater, right? Pay my money to get in the movies. I don't sit there and say, man, all they want is my money. All they want is my money. I can't stand this place. All they talk about is money. No, I paid. But I get into the house of God and let them dare bring up some money. And I get uncomfortable. All right, what do we talk about at the beginning? When you get uncomfortable, that means God is moving. God is trying to do something in your life. Understand that? All right, people don't like to hear that. I'll stop, but some of you understand it. Some of you who came here today, some of you who halfway through this message said, you know what, I'm in a desert and I want to get out. Some of you are saying, whatever it is, I'm getting out. If that means tithing, try him in that, man. You got me? Try him. Try him. He says to test me in this. Give. Be a giver. All right? Listen, we talked about the desert. We talked about the monkey trap. We talked about what you have to do. You have to give up some things. You give them up now. You're working on that. And what do I have to do, OJ? I want to get out. I want to get out now. You got to move. You got to move. You can't sit still and wait. Well, I'm waiting for God to show me this, or I'm waiting for God to show me that, or I'm waiting for God to speak to me. When it's my time, I know He'll let me know. It's your time. Move. Move. Everything God makes moves. Everything in God's kingdom moves. It's alive. You talk about the Big Bang Theory. You heard about that, the Big Bang Theory? All right, where there was some explosion, right? Random explosion in space, and then all life started, and it just started moving, and the universe is forever expanding, going out. All right? That explosion was God, and He said, "Let there be light." And that word's been going out ever since. And the universe is expanding on His creation. Everything God does is moving. You got to move. You got to move. You can't sit still. And some of you say, "I know my Bible, OJ. Having done all," the Bible says, "having done all, stand." You're right. You're right. Having done all that you can do, stand. Because you're tired and you sat down. Stand is an action word. Moving is involved in stand. Get up. Take a stand for something. Stand up for something. Get moving. Prepare to move. You understand? Well, OJ, I don't know what to do because I don't know where to move. I don't know where to move. I don't know how to move. Move away from the stuff you know you need to get away from. How about that? Well, I don't know exactly where to move to, or you know where not to move to. Move away from that. How about that? All right. Well, I don't know. What if I make a mistake and the stakes are so high, I don't want to do another lap. I don't want to go back through that. Move. Because if you stumble and you trip and you fall, but you're moving, guess what? You'll fall forward. And I'd rather have you falling forward chasing after God than falling backwards standing still. You understand what I'm saying? No more going back. We don't need to go back anymore. We spend enough time wandering aimlessly, and we don't need to go back anymore. Move intentionally. All right? Listen, that's the word I wanted to get to the house. I want you guys to move. I wanted you guys to take a good look at your life. All right? My man, thank you very much. You can drop the bags, man. You're good. All right? Hey, make good choices, right? You know the cost, right? There's a cost, man. Okay? There's consequences for everything you do. All right? Make good choices. All right? And that's for everybody. Okay? I don't get too much into prophetic words. That's not really my thing. All right? And for a long time, I was like, come on, man. I don't believe in any of that stuff. Stop it. Right? Until God showed me, wow, that's legit. Huh? That's legit. How did He know that? Okay, that's legit. Well, God, thank you for showing me some things. And God told me some things specifically about Josh, all right, about the church, about your family, all right? Listen, we know the devil hates the name Swilly. I don't know if you know about that family name, but there's a legacy attached to that name, all right? And they've done great things in the kingdom of God, and the devil doesn't like that. You know, your dad told me when you read a story in the Bible, you always figure out where God is, who God is. You know better than me because I got it on Wednesday nights and Sunday. He got it every day. All right. Know where God is in the story. Identify where God is in this story and identify where you are. And we all know the story of the prodigal son. Right. And he went and he spent his money and whatnot. And that represents us out there living. And then when we come back, God is ready to receive us. But God wants you to know there is a prodigal father spirit. You understand? Where people have gone and left. All right. People that you love, people that you cared about, people that you poured into, all right, have left. And that's not what, listen, when the word comes for the house, it comes for everybody in the house. All right. Listen, people have come into your life. All right. You've treated them well. Okay. And they've gone and they've left. You have to have a prodigal father spirit. God wants to let you know. Don't get upset about it. Don't get mad about it. And when they come back, you treat them with love when they come back. That's what you're called to do. Right now in this house. All right. There's a prodigal father anointing in the house. Okay. So switch it up a little bit. Typically when we read the story, that's us, the son, and God is that father. I just want you to switch it up now. All right. A lot of us need to have a prodigal father anointing on our lives. All right. Need to have that. People have left us. People have done us wrong. All right. We have to show them God. All right. And when they act right, when they figure it out and they want to come back, be careful in the relationship now. All right. I didn't say bring them back like that. You can come to the door. You can't come in. All right. I will show you love, though, when you do come back. Okay? You got me? You understand? All right? It's important. Because things happen to us like it happens to them in the world, all right? And they know what the reaction is in the world when you leave somebody high and dry and you know you're dead wrong, all right? You probably won't dare go back. You got a lot of nerve coming back, all right? But we're different. This is the house of God, all right? And we'll welcome you back, all right? We'll welcome you back with open arms, all right? You may have to earn some trust, all right? But it doesn't stop us from loving you, all right? Amen. Listen, I want to pass it on to the man of the house. All right, my guy, Josh, I want to just thank you for the opportunity to come up here. It means a lot to me. All right, like you said, it was 10 years ago and I was here. And like I said, God took me and worked some things in me. But the whole time I was away, all right, you'd see me, I'd dip back in it. I'd be in and out whenever I'm in town, I'd come through. All right, and I came through because there was a certain amount of love in the room. All right, you don't get that everywhere you go. That's especially unique to this church. Okay, so take it for what it is, all right? When they say they love you, they mean it. When they come and hug you, they mean it. They're not just putting on a show, all right? Don't cringe, all right? Hug them back, all right? Let God's love touch your life. And let the word of God in this house prepare you for the battle that's coming, all right? We're going to make a habit of winning, all right? And who better to teach you how to win in a fight than two worshipers who have the heart of God when it comes to worship? At the end of the day, it wasn't swords or spears or anything else. When the walls of Jericho fell, not a drop of blood was shed and nobody swung a sword. All right. They worshiped and walked around the city until the walls fell. All right. Always have strong worshipers in the house. And you got that here. Right. All right. Amen. That's it for me. I love all of you. All right. There's nothing you can do about that. That's just what it is. All right. And that's what it's going to be. All right.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.